originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you tuning into our website at horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. As you all know, this is an organization that is very dear to my heart. I was one of the lucky ones. I was able to walk away from the sport. So the PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you are able to help, please visit the website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest this evening was born and raised in Italy, where his father was one of the leading riders in the country. Our guest ended up winning over 300 races in his native country before deciding to move to the United States, where he's found even greater success. He won the Grade 3 Azalea Stakes in 2012 with Another Romance. He's a regular rider at Gulfstream Park now, and I can't wait to hear his story. With 603 wins in the U.S., 384 in Italy, and one in Germany, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey Luca Panici. Luca, welcome to the show.
Hi, Christina. Hello to everybody.
Great to have you here, Luca. You have such an interesting story. Can't wait to hear it all. How's the meet going there for you at Gulfstream?
Good. Really good. The weather is good. The horse racing are amazing. I start the spring meeting pretty good. So I'm very excited for another season of the summer here in Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, I know, Luca, when studying for this show a couple days ago, I had you down as 598 wins, and you corrected me. You'd already won several since then, just a couple of days ago. So you're quickly racking up those wins. I love it.
Yes, I won 3 in the last week, so I pass that number. But it's good, you know, every time when start a new meeting is pretty difficult to win right away. So I got lucky. And in the last couple of weeks, I started the meeting really, really good.
Yeah, even though you don't move, it's still a transition period for you, Luca, because that winter championship meet at Gulfstream Park is so competitive, so tough, and so many horsemen come together at Gulfstream Park as well. So I'm sure there is more business in that sense. And then now transitioning to the spring meet, where there are different horsemen and different horses. So how is that transition for you, and who's your agent?
Well, my agent is Kevin Mix, and we work together. Right now is the 4th year that we work together, and very, very happy of him. He's a really good agent. We have a good team, and we really have a nice winter meet too. In the last year and last couple of years, there is a big difference about the winter meeting and the spring summer meeting, but both meetings are exciting to be there and ride at Gulfstream. Very, very exciting.
Is it hard for you when you see all of these New York riders come south for the winter? It is hard for you to get used to their riding styles. Do you pay attention to that? Do you almost handicap the other jockeys in a race?
Well, is competitive. Is more competitive, but I think is better in one way because you can improve and. You can improve your skill, you can learn every day something different because there is so many jockeys, different style and different mind of jockeys. And I think it's very exciting because more competitive is the meeting and better, I think, everybody can improve. And you have to ride... more than 100% of your capacity, so is a nice meeting, a nice exciting meeting to have, and every year the best jockey down here, best jockeys and best trainer and best horses, is very very exciting, and I think. Help everyone here that are local to improve every year, try to improve every year your results.
So I got to be honest with you, Luke. I have not been to Gulfstream Park in a number of years. Many, many years ago, I think it was 2009, I was galloping horses for Todd Pletcher at Palmetto. So I'd go down to Gulfstream and go to the races, but I haven't been back since, and I know they've done a lot of work there at Gulfstream Park, a lot of remodeling, and they've just basically completely changed the grandstand there and made it better from what I hear. You've been here since 2005, actually riding professionally. You rode your first U.S. victory in 2005. So tell us from a rider's perspective, what all have they changed there at Gulfstream Park?
Everything is changed because really my first race in Gulfstream Park was in the old Gulfstream Park in the 96 because I have one race when I was a bug boy in Italy. I spent just a couple of weeks of a vacation and I got lucky to ride one race, and the old Gulfstream Park probably was a bigger grandstand, historical grandstand, but right now look like the atmosphere of the people around is a change and is like a VIP atmosphere. It's really, really exciting, especially in the big days like the Florida Derby or like the Pegasus World Cup, there are the best supporter, best fans around in the winter time. It's very, very exciting. The racetrack is still almost the same, but really the atmosphere has changed and is a mix of culture because you can find people from every part of the world that are coming and looking the race at Gulfstream Park. I think all the crew of Gulfstream Park, like the president, the Stronach group, the racing secretary, they do an amazing change, amazing work the way that Gulfstream Park is right now.
Jockey Luca Panici joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Luca, let's take a step back here. Let's talk about how it all started for you. You're the son of a very prominent, successful jockey in Italy, and you grew up there. So how was it for you growing up in that country, and what's different between the United States and Italy as far as the racetrack?
Well, yeah, I born and I grew up in horse racing because all my family, my grandfather was involved, and my father was one of the leading jockeys in the 70s and the 80s. And after was a trainer, my brother was a jockey. So all the family was involved, uncle. Obviously, when you were a kid, you start riding horse, and you quit pretty soon the school, and you start to work and dream to become a jockey. And this is was what I did, what I want, what I've lucky to be a professional jockey in my city, Milano. And after dreaming always dreaming about the United States, when I was a bug boy, I got lucky to ride with an American jockey, Cassius Mussen, that he was professional in French, and he came a few times in Milano, and looking his style, looking the Steve Cotten style in England, I always dreaming about the opportunity of the United States. And later on, I have the chance to come here, and I decide to move here.
Luca, you just mentioned two great names in racing, Cassius Mussen and Steve Cotten. I've interviewed both of those gentlemen on the show. I encourage our audience to go back to the website, horseracingradio.net, to check out those replays and hear their stories. But Luca, back to your own, watching those successful American riders ride around the world, noticing their style, tell us, what's the difference between the Italian style of riding and the American style of riding?
Well, the big difference about the style, the racing style, riding style, is about the timing and the distance of the race. Because in Europe, we grew up with most of our racetrack, our race in long distance. Obviously, we have the 5 furlong race. We have from 5 furlong to 7 race straight with no turn. But obviously, we have more race on the grass, 1 mile and up. We have a boring racetrack on the dirt, but are less than our big racetrack. So the big difference was the distance of the race and the timing of the speed of the races. Here, the speed of the race are faster than our country. So the decision that you have to take in the race are quickly than in Europe, in Italy. So you have to learn to have a quick decision, and how is the best way to win a race in the short stretch, short racetrack like here. You can't make a lot of mistake during the race. because of difficult recovering your mistake in a short racetrack. In Italy or in Europe, you can wait and decide and change mind a few times during a race, during a long race, especially the 1 mile, 1.8, 1 mile and a half race. Here, your first probably is sometimes your last decision in the race. So there is, this is probably the bigger difference, the main difference about American racing and European racing.
Would you say, in my experience watching the races at Gulfstream, Gulfstream seems to be a speed-favoring racetrack as well, so I'm sure that is especially true riding at Gulfstream. You have to really gun them out of the gate, basically. Is that your thoughts?
Yes, yes, especially on the grass. Here we have a really, really fast turf race course, and it's very difficult coming from behind, and you have to send the horse from the gate and try to stay in the first position, especially here in Gulfstream, yes.
Now, what about physically, the actual act of pushing on a horse's neck down the stretch? I know watching European riders, it seems to me that they move around a little bit more up and down action, versus here in the States, you don't move nearly as much. Would you say that's true, and did you have to get used to that?
Yes, it's true, and it's not easy for a European jockey change his style after 15 or 20 years that you ride in one style. It's pretty difficult. The thing that it can help you is the size of the horse, because here usually the size of the horse are bigger and more comfortable than the European horse. The neck are bigger, the body are bigger than our horse. Our horse, they are building mostly for a distance, and mostly of our horse are more skinny. Here, they are more stronger, and this is one fact that they can help the American style to don't move too much in the horse, don't move up and down like our style. Another thing, in Italy or in Europe, we have a lot of racetrack with uphill and downhill. So most of the race, the horse, they finish more tired than here. So probably is another fact that you can say why the European, they move more than the American rider.
That's very interesting, Luca. I'd never had anyone explain it to me so well. We're talking here with Luca Panici, joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Luca, growing up in Milano, Italy, you actually grew up with someone, another very successful jockey, Frankie Dettori. You guys grew up in the same town, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, same neighbor, because we live very, very close, and he actually grew up with my brother, because he's the same year of my brother. He start to be a apprentice with my brother, and he's one of his best friend is my brother, but obviously I'm younger, 5 years younger than both. So I grew up try to follow his step, but yeah, Frankie is a friend of us. He's a genius. He's a is one of the most talented and humble guy in the horse racing industry.
Obviously, it was a popular profession to pursue there in Milano, to be a jockey. You and your brother, your father, Frankie Dettori, so many successful jockeys coming from that area. And was there a racetrack right there in Milano?
Yeah, it's the bigger racetrack in Italy is Milano. They run the Ox over there, the Derby. They run in Rome, that is the other big racetrack. But yeah, the most important racetrack are Milano and Rome.
So how many total racetracks are there in Italy then?
Well, right now, the economy is pretty bad and costs a lot of the horse racing. And in the last 5 years, the economy problem, they closed three or four racetracks. So I think right now there are only 12 open all years around. But when I start, we were close to 20 racetrack in the different season, but there were almost 20 racetrack there.
Wow. So is there year-round racing there in Italy then?
Yes, because in the winter time there is a more racetrack open in the center and the south of Italy because the weather. And in the north, they close the turf racetrack and they open a couple of little racetrack on the dirt and the synthetic. And you have different meeting. All the four season of the year in different racetrack in the three different area, north, center, and south.
Is there any formal jockey school in Italy, or how do you start out riding?
Well, the jockey school they start around the 2000. So in my era, you start as a groom access rider. You learn and you start and you sign a contract for 6 months with a trainer that it teach you to become a jockey. Teaching, learning as a groom, access rider, and jockey in the same time. After 6 months of this training, you have to pass one exam with the steward, and after you start to be a bag boy. But right now, in the late 19, almost 2000, I think there is a new jockey school in central of Italy. And every year, there is more than 20 new apprentice jockey with license.
Do you think that's a good idea to have a jockey school there?
Well, yes. The jockey school has a long history in France, in England. All the best European jockey, they coming from the Chantilly School in France and the Newmarket School in England. Italy was a little bit late, but was a good idea because before you have to find a really good trainer that he trusts you, he wants to help you, and he quickly understand that you can become a jockey. Because when you start, it's difficult to see the ability of a kid that he has 15 years old, because in my era, you started to be apprentice at 16. So when you were 15 and a half, you start to work in the barn. So if you find the right people, it's okay, but it's not easy to find the right people when you are so young. And I got lucky because I have a good teacher from my family, so I never have a problem. But with the school, I think it's a little bit easy. And in the same way, you have more control and you have a few teachers, few people that you know that they work for your skill. So I think it's a good thing to have a school.
Who was your teacher? Who did you have your contract with?
I have a contract with a trainer that older trainer that right now is retired. Is the name is Luciano Dauria. He won the Japan Cup with a horse named Falbrav that Frankie he rode in the late 19. So I have a good barn to start. And have a good career of apprentice. I can blame anybody.
I'm sure your father was also an integral part of your education. Was he hard on you?
Well, yeah, he still because he's still looking the race every day in Goosim, and he's still hard. With me, but was better because I have a different opinion because I have my father, my uncle, and my brother that we're together. We were four in that year, and I can teach every time I made a mistake. I can learn very, very quickly about my mistake. And yeah, it was hard, but I think it worked out good.
Now, your father, he won several grade one victories there in Italy. He was quite a big deal in your country.
Yeah, he won three times the championship, and he won some grade one, like Milano Grand Prix, like Ox a couple of times. He was a good jockey and good trainer because he had a pretty good results when he was trainer too.
Well, Luca, we need to take a very short commercial break. Folks, stay with us. You're listening to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judges' choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, fifth generation ink, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use the monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Pena of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcott. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
And now they bunch up as they pass the quarter pole. Exclusively Maria's had enough. Citizen Advocate and Red Bud Road kick for the wire. Citizen Advocate just narrowly in front. Red Bud Road every chance but not staying with Citizen Advocate so far. And now another Romance is starting to hit her best stride from absolutely last. And she's got plenty of room at the inside. Citizen Advocate has to hold off another Romance who's flying through on the rail. And another Romance is going to get up and win it going away. Another Romance in the Azalea. Citizen Advocate second, tight for 30. The Red Bud Road or Sinister Tail.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm your host, Christina McManigal, and I am joined this evening by jockey Luca Panici. Luca, we just heard the replay of your victory aboard Another Romance in the 2012 Grade 3 Azalea Stakes. What kind of memories does hearing that replay bring back to you?
Was very, very nice. Very nice memory because was an amazing victory, an amazing filly, and was probably the filly that he gave me a push that the people know me in this country, because it was a pretty kind of difficult filly to ride. Because she ran from 6 to 7 furlong one turn, but she was a closer. She has no speed at all, and I won with her 3 races in a row, coming from dead last, almost 15-20. Leg behind, like Zenyatta style.
I love it. Another Romance. She won the Leave Me Alone Stakes, the race prior before that Azalea win with you in the irons. Those races were both actually at Calder, which now Gulfstream Park West. Luca, do you find those closing sprinters? I know for me, that brought on such a rush. Like you said, it's difficult. You have to. Your timing has to be impeccable. You have to have quite a bit of luck just to find a hole to get through on the rail, whatever it might be. But for you, was that more of a rush coming from off the pace like that?
Yeah, I like more. They probably are my favorite tactical race when you have a horse that he can close. And there is a lot of speed in front, and you have to be the ability to find the room between the horses. I think they are amazing horses to ride. The horses are closer, coming from behind with a big heart. I like it.
Her trainer, William Kaplan, she actually retired after that Grade 3 victory, but how did you get the mount?
I have the mount because the first call at the time, he had a call in the race, and they want to find a jockey that he followed the instruction of the trainer, and he doesn't rush the filly, because it was a very particular filly that she don't want to be rushed out of the gate. And so first time that I rode the filly, the instruction was to don't rush the filly out of the gate, even I was behind 20 or 25 lane from the first. So I did, because when I wanted the leave me alone, probably I was more far than the Azalea Stakes. And I didn't care, because I breathed the field in the morning. I know that when you ask when he was ready to kick, he had a big turn of feet. So I let him put all together for at least a half mile. And when I ask, he just kick with a lot of speed and close to win both of the races. So was amazing, amazing filly. Unlucky filly, because after the Azalea, she got hurt and she was retired. But it was amazing, amazing mount.
Well, she went out a victor. So, jockey Luca Panici joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Luca, let's go back to Italy, where we left off before the break. You had your contract at the age of 15, and we talked about your trainer who had your contract. He actually won the Japanese Cup with Frankie Dettori, who you grew up with. And so you mentioned you'd have a contract when you're 15, and then at the age of 16, you'd actually start your bug or your apprenticeship. And prior to that, Luca, did you know you were ready, or did your trainer kind of push you to that moment? Did he think you were ready?
Well, I think I was ready, but I don't have an easy start, because after 7 or 8 races in the afternoon, I fell in the morning in a morning breeze because a broke down horse. I fell and I stay out almost 6 months. Cause a concussion and a collarbone fracture. So my start wasn't easy, because I start and I have to wait another 6 months after 5 or 6 race. So I have a second start during the winter season. And but I did good. I did good, always looking the best jockey at the moment in my country and all around Europe, because at that year, I repeat, there was a kind of American jockey in Europe, and you always take a look of this big name.
You actually won your first race in Milan aboard Blood Cold in September of 1990. And did you have great success your first year with the bug?
Well, yeah, I spent only 2 months and a half in Milan, because the race finished in the first week of November. And after, I move in Tuscany, where the winter meet start, and I have a pretty good season, the fall meeting in Milan and the winter meet in Pisa. And the 91 was my first year all year with a bug boy, between Milano, Tuscany, and Varese in the summer meet. But I have a pretty good bug boy time.
Do you get a weight allowance like you do here in the States?
Yes, you start with 4 kilos. There are almost 8 pounds, and after 50 victory, you lose 2 kilos, and you have for all during of your contract that is 5 years, these 2 kilo allowance for apprentice. So it's a little bit longer than here, that you have only almost 1 year.
Well, Luca, you rode 384 victories in total in Italy, as we mentioned during the introduction. But before long, you became interested in racing in the United States, and you actually decided to gallop horses in the Italian off season here in the States. And tell us what that experience was like for you.
Well, it was a dream, because my brother, everything started when my brother spent time in Newmarket visiting Frankie, and know Mr. Christophe Clément, that at the time was an assistant for a stage for Mr. Cumani, Mr. Luca Cumani. So he decided, my brother, to come here off-season to Milano for a few weeks, and I come with him, and I start galloping for Mr. Mott. This was 96. And Mr. Mott, he gave me the opportunity a couple of days before I come back to Milan to have a ride in the old Gulfstream Park with the Mr. Paulson silk. So was the cigar year, and I wear the Mr. Paulson silks in Gulfstream Park. It was a dream, because at the time there was no internet or YouTube. Everything that you dream was just in your dream and in some television replay. There was no the technology that we have right now. And so we decided to repeat the experience the following year, and the same way, we spend here 3 or 4 weeks to enjoy galloping and ride a couple races during the winter meet. But it was totally a dream, because in that time, from Italy, from Europe, you just watch a couple of big meeting in USA, like the Breeders' Cup or the Kentucky Derby, and that's it. You can find to the YouTube, because there was no YouTube or internet. So it was a dream. Come here and see with your eyes kind of horsemen, jockey, and racetrack. It was really a dream that came true in the 90s.
And it was a tough decision for you, Luca, to actually move here to the States, because your wife, Karen, had her own successful career in Italy. So tell us how you came to that decision.
Well, yeah, I give a lot of credit to her, because when I decided to move here, it was the right time for me, because the horse racing in Italy, they start to have a hard time. So I give credit to her that she was the first that supported me to move here and change his life, because obviously I changed mine, but it was a decision just to move from one country to the other. And when she decided to come with me, she has to quit her career. And so I think she was more harder for from her than from me. And I always glad that she is on my side and she pushed me to made this bigger decision.
Does she like it here now?
Yeah, well, we like, she like, you know, Florida is right now our home and the quality of the life here, I don't think you can find in any kind of place of the world, because here is amazing. The weather is amazing, of the mix of culture that you can find. So we are happy here is now our hometown.
When you first arrived and started riding professionally year-round, did you find success quickly, or did it take a while of a lot of hard work?
No, it was really, really hard. It was really hard because when I moved, I wasn't in my 20s, I was in my 30s. And you move in one age that when you have to building a new style, it's not easy. And probably the credibility too, because you don't move when you are a kid, you move when you are already a journey. And I mean, it's not easy to be a part of the American culture. So I got help from the beginning, from a lesson that I learned in all my career. So more you work, harder you work, always the hard work pay off. It's just a question of waiting your right time. So I start to work every day hard. I always think to thank the people that they helped me to develop this dream, because it was a dream from my first agent and his family, that it was Victor Centeno, another ex-jockey at Calder, that he helped me from the beginner. And I used to grow up working hard, and I never stopped to working hard. And where I can't do with my ability, my skill, I try to do with my hard working mentality. And I think right now I can say that it pay off pretty good.
I'd say so, Luca. I'm just going to go through a couple of your highlights here. You won the Claiming Crown Glass Slipper aboard Tormento di Oro in 2016. 44-1 upset, paid a big price that day. Flutterby was second in the Grade 2 Princess Rooney, dueled for the lead 6 furlongs. But prior to that, you won the 2015 Sea Lily Handicap, the 2015 Gold Mover Stakes, the 2015 Added Elegance Stakes. I'm sure Flutterby is one of your personal favorites. And also, just recently, you won the Gasparilla Stakes at Tampa aboard Molto Bella. And that's just to name a few. Luca, any names that I missed that would make your top favorite horses list?
Well, I don't have a really favorite horse because I ride some really big hard horse, even a long shot horse that they give me a winner that I'm glad, and I always thankful about this kind of animals that they try hard for us, and I thankful all the support that a winner, a winner race that I can have from all part of the barn, start from the groom, start from the excess rider, all the guys that they work behind a winning. I always thankful because it's not only the jockey that win a race. There is behind the jockey a group of person, people that work with you as an agent, as a valet, as an owner, a trainer. I mean, it's always a team victory. So I don't have really a good favorite horses, but all the horses that they give me the opportunity to have a success and have a good time, I'm glad to be a part of this group.
Well said, Luca. It takes a village. A lot of work goes into getting these magnificent animals to the winner's circle. Let's talk about, don't have a lot of time left here on the show, but briefly, let's talk about your victory in Germany. You won a stake in Germany several years back. Tell us that story.
Well, it was a really, really nice horse, pretty unlucky because he have a short career. The name was Supreme Commander, was a breeder from Aga Khan, a buy from Italian owner, Scuderia PSG. And we finished second in stakes in Lyon Paris-Lin French. And we go to win this stake in Munich, in Germany. And it was a really good horse place in Italy, in grade. And was a good experience in Europe. Like here, every time you go out of town, you learn something. You see different view of horse racing story, and is nice. And that time in Germany, I enjoy to win that stakes, and it was nice, really nice.
How do you prepare for that as a jockey, Luca? You've traveled a lot. You've shipped in to many different racetracks. How do you prepare for that? Not on your home turf. You're surrounded by jockeys you're not familiar with. You're not familiar with the racetrack. So tell us how you cope with that.
Well, you have to watch a lot of races. And right now, with all the technology that we have, it's pretty simple. You watch any kind of racetrack, any kind of jockey, surface, you try to understand the style of the other jockeys, the mind of the other jockeys. You study the race, and right now it's pretty easy. You have, to me, you have to study a lot of these different stuff about racetrack jockeys and horse too. I mean, if you can handicapping all this connection, you have a big help. And it's a fun, because it's a fun homework that you have to do. But if you enjoy this job, it's more than a job. It's a fun.
What's the hardest part of riding for you? Is it weight, injuries? What's hard for you?
Well, right now probably the injury, because when when you have a lot of injury, broken bone. Luckily, I'm in the nice weather all the year. I don't have to fight with the cold weather. But when I was in Italy, that I used to ride in the cold weather too. Probably the difficult part is riding in the cold weather with all the injury. So right now is a little bit easier, but it's still some bunch here and there that you have to fight with.
What goals are you working for, career-wise? Are you hoping to ride in the Derby one day, or what goals have you set for yourself, Luca?
Well, the dreaming of riding the Derby or in the British Cup meeting is always everybody, I think, has this dream. My dream, have starting to have a baby and following this baby to win a much important race everywhere. The Derby is a dream, I repeat, like the Breeders' Cup. And I work hard to stay at the top of every meeting that I ride. And I think the dream, the following your step of your career. So I don't I never stop dreaming, because a few years ago was a dream come here and to be a professional jockey here, and so I did this dream, and now I don't like to talk about a lot of my dreams, but I have some, and hopefully working hard I can complete this journey.
Great way to end the show, Luca. Well said. Unfortunately, we are all out of time. Can't thank you enough, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your show, and thank you for having me.
Luca Panici, folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Now we're gearing up for Kentucky Derby season, so be sure to check out our schedule on the website as well. And join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Della Pina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.